Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Don't you believe the ocean sea? Surfers, watchers, must be our surfers. Check out the sea. Check out the sea.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Troops in Iraq. President Bush expected to make an announcement tomorrow.
In a speech tomorrow at National Defense University, President Bush will announce plans to withdraw another 8,000 U.S. troops from Iraq by early next year. That includes 3,400 combat support forces who'll be pulled out over the next several months, along with a U.S. Marine battalion now serving in Anbar province. But at the same time, Mr. Bush will announce that in November, he's sending another Marine battalion to Afghanistan, followed in January by an Army combat brigade. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
It's a new CBS News poll on the race for the White House, and it's a first. CBS News survey director Kathleen Frankovich says the Republicans are leading.
46% of registered voters say they support the Republicans, John McCain and Sarah Palin. 44% support the Democrats, Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
Enthusiasm is brimming for both tickets among their base supporters. 53% of Obama's supporters are enthusiastic, and McCain's seen a nearly doubling from 26 to 42% for enthusiasm. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 290 points today. The Nasdaq also picked up nearly 14. The reason? The government takeover of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Mark Zandi at MoodysEconomy.com says it's an important move to steady the mortgage and housing markets.
This means that mortgage rates come down and eventually there will be more mortgage credit, which is key to the housing market and by extension the financial system and the broader economy. So stock investors like it, and they should.
A New York City judge sides with the author of Harry Potter and her publisher against the man who came out with the Potter lexicon.
Protected by a federal judge here in New York, the author J.K. Rowling and the movie company Warner Brothers. They win their lawsuit that claimed copyright infringement by a man whose website is called the Harry Potter Lexicon. The ruling appears to stop his plans to publish a book. His attorney said it's only a reference manual, as CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen puts it.
The defense simply did not fly with this judge.
The Lexicon author is ordered to pay multimillionaire Rowling, but only about $7,000. Dan Rafiv, CBS News, New York.
Hurricane Ike killed dozens of people in Haiti, where police say the flood toll could be as high as 700 people in the season. Angel Aloma at the Food for the Poor, an aid agency in Haiti.
It is horrendous. Just this morning, for example, we heard that in one of the areas where we work, in Fort Liberté, they discovered 21 more bodies. And in an area called Caracol, five more people turned up dead.
People in the Florida Keys are going back home since Ike has stayed south of Cuba. The latest probability cone points Ike at the northern coast of Texas at the end of this week, possibly Category 3. In Dayton, Ohio, 28-year-old China Arnold is going to prison for life without parole for burning her baby daughter to death in a microwave oven. This is CBS News.
Unwanted noise is everywhere. Airplane cabins, city bustle, office distractions. But you can fade background noise and enjoy your music more with Bose Quiet Comfort 2 acoustic noise-canceling headphones. Bose QC2 headphones were originally designed for air travel, but owners say they also enjoy them whenever they listen to music. In the office, at home, and on the go. Acclaimed Bose noise reduction, lifelike sound, and a comfortable fit. Try QC2 headphones for yourself by calling Bose at 800-511-3012. You'll be delighted by the difference Bose noise reduction technology can make. TechnologyReview.com says it's as if someone found the volume control for the world and turned it way, way down. And the sound? Well, Travel and Leisure Golf says you'll think you're on stage with the band. Call now, 800-511-3012, to try Quiet Comfort 2 headphones risk-free for 30 days. When you call, ask about making low monthly payments with no interest charges from Bose. Order now for free shipping. 800-511-3012.
O.J. Simpson going on trial again, this time for robbery and kidnapping in Las Vegas.
As jury selection began, it became very clear that the judge is concerned about the potential impact of O.J. Simpson's acquittal in his 1995 murder trial. Repeatedly, Judge Jackie Glass told potential jurors that the murder trial has nothing to do with this case.
What happened then, a jury reached a decision. That's it. We're here now on a totally separate matter, 13 years later. In Las Vegas.
The judge told prospective jurors this is not a retrial of Simpson's murder case. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the county courthouse in Las Vegas.
The next space shuttle mission will be much riskier than most because Atlantis will be flying in a higher orbit and will be orbiting among a ring of space junk. Shuttle managers put the odds of the shuttle being struck catastrophically by a chunk of space debris at 1 in only 185. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You know that diamond ring you promised yourself you'd get her one day? Well, you can keep that promise beautifully right now at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. With five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you can find an anniversary ring in 14 or 18 karat gold or platinum. A ring that can feature ideal cut and colorless diamonds. Or an absolutely stunning diamond eternity ring with diamonds all around, starting at under $700.
It can only be Jared.
Visit Jared.com to find the location most convenient for you.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so. And if I know for sure.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's talk radio you can dance to. Go ahead, shake it. Just like a Polaroid picture. And I learned that about a month ago they stopped selling Polaroid film. You'll have to shake it with a digital photograph. Quick look at today's lineup. We'll kick off the show in a moment with Kelly Bokar Vlahos from Fox News. She's an independent who is a contributor to the Fox News channel. Going to talk about how to handle Sarah Palin. Also this hour, a look at the federal takeover of Freddie and Fannie. You and I get to pick up the losses. Shareholders are wiped out, but profits in the future, well, some will go to the Treasury and some will go to shareholders. We'll talk about it with Andrew Yakubovics from the Center for American Progress. Next hour, Cliff Schechter, our regular contributor, the author of The Real McCain, will join us. And we'll talk about McCain's priceless acceptance speech in St. Paul the other night, where he repositioned himself as a reformer and a peacemonger. Also on today's show, John Brakey. He's been with us before. He's an election activist in Pima County, Arizona. He's also a designated election monitor. And they had a primary in Arizona last week, and John Brakey was doing his job. And he noticed some ballots coming in bags with improper seals. And when he raised questions about that, the registrar of voters called the cops and had him arrested and removed from the vote count scene. We'll talk with John and also meet one of his attorneys who's worked on the cases in Arizona coming up next hour. And in the free speech zone today, we're going to celebrate the liberal media. that was roundly criticized and ridiculed by Rudy Giuliani, Sarah Palin, and others at the podium at the Republican convention last week. And now there is some actual liberal media on television. MSNBC is launching the Rachel Maddow Show this evening. It starts at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And we'll see how she does. We'll see how long she lasts. Also on today's program, Dan Ferraro, who draws the Bizarro cartoon. He and comedian Johnny Steele will be checking in. They're doing a two-man show in Oakland a little bit later this week, and we'll tell you all about it. You can call in with your comments, your questions, and what have yous. 888-5, Peter B. is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And returning to our program today, freelance political reporter and a Fox News contributor, Kelly Bokar Vlahos. Kelly, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter.
Nice to talk with you, and I'm hoping you can help me understand the Palin phenomenon and how we're supposed to handle this. And let me ease into this by sharing a little story from the weekend. We got together for some mojitos and a little barbecue with my Republican neighbors, Hank and Gail, and we had a pretty good conversation going for a while. But he brought up Reverend Wright, and then I brought up Sarah Palin's church statements that are at YouTube that many people have heard recently. And I said, well, you know, frankly, I am more chilled by a candidate for vice president who can't really find an appropriate line to separate church and state than I am the out-of-context ravings of the former pastor of presidential candidate Obama.
Right.
So how do we balance these? Because it becomes a neener-neener game where nobody's listening to the other side. You just kind of make your points and, you know, they're going to up the ante with Reverend Wright and then I'm going to talk about the Assemblies of God. And I think we're in parallel universes.
Well, I think my gut on this is from what I saw at the convention and some of the hardening of opinions and the aftermath, the most recent polls aside, and we can talk about that too, but what I'm seeing is that the greatest effect that Sarah Palin has had is that she has energized the Republican vote, the mm-hmm. Republican electorate, like I don't think anybody else could have.
Yeah.
So all of those people who were sitting there going, yeah, I guess I'll get off my butt and go and vote for John McCain on Election Day, but couldn't summon anything greater than that, are now dancing in the streets, ready to get man phones and knock on doors. And that's obviously very important. But I think that it's also really energized the other side to say, you know what, I was going to vote for Barack Obama, or I've heard a couple people say that they were even leaning towards John McCain, but that Sarah Palin scares the heck out of them, mm-hmm. and they are either more resolved or they've pushed onto the other side of the fence in response. And I'm not so sure that the total effect of this isn't going to be a hardening of this parallel universe, this sort of polarization that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced, personally, that she's going to eat into this sort of one small slice of the independent swing voter that is so necessary to win. I'm not entirely convinced of that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, and Kelly, when we look at the big picture, the vice president, regardless of how it plays out, does not have that much impact on the final decision that people make. But clearly, this is a statement of image over substance.
Right.
And this candidate is being put forward to shore up the evangelical right of the Republican base and the very tenuous connection that John McCain has had with that group. And, you know, on that basis, I understand it politically. But I do think that we have to look at how she changes the dynamic here.
Right.
And that if she is able to maintain the bubble, she's agreed to one interview so far with Charlie Gibson of ABC. I'm sure he'll talk about his tax problems like he did at the last Democratic debate.
Yeah.
But, you know, she is going to attempt to get from here to November 4th without being carefully scrutinized.
Right.
And when even Campbell Brown, married to a Republican working at CNN, asked a simple question about, well, what order did she ever give as commander-in-chief of the National Guard in Alaska, that is seen as off-limits, sexist, too pushy. And so they have succeeded in creating this pushback, and it started with Giuliani's demonization of the liberal media. And so, we've got this bizarre situation where they're running against the media before it's even been able to do its job on Palin. And now John McCain has fashioned himself as this reformer who's going to go in and shake up Washington. And, you know, which one of the lobbyists on his senior campaign staff is going to be thrown under the bus first?
Right. Well, I mean, I think another effect, and you sort of touched on this already, is that it's changed the dynamic, and I think it's thrown the Obama campaign slightly off its game, and I'm sure there's pundits out there who would say more than just slightly off of its game.
I think you're right. They've had to be on the defensive, and, you know, right up until the time that Palin was selected, the Democrats were really setting the agenda, and McCain was either selectively ignoring things or responding to that. But you're correct. I believe that this has shifted the dynamic and that the Obama-Biden team is playing defense and catch-up.
Yeah, and I had just seen briefly before I went on the air here a clip from Keith Olbermann has interviewed Obama. I guess that's going to be on this evening. And I just saw a brief clip of Obama, responding to, you know, these claims that Sarah Palin is a maverick, and they're really pushing hard on this issue about her being in support of the quote-unquote bridge to nowhere before she was against it.
Mm-hmm.
But even I could just sense a little shift in Barack Obama himself in terms of his own confidence level. He has always struck me as a amazingly articulate, fast on his feet, a speaker, an interviewer. I mean, he's just smooth as silk, and I sensed a little bit of hesitation that he's grasping for the right words, and what came out was a very tepid, I mean, he made his case, but the language was tepid, and I'm thinking, wow, they're already got to them where he's probably thinking, you know, and I don't blame him, that he has to use sexually neutral words in everything he says at this point. And you saw it with Joe Biden on Meet the Press yesterday. He seemed off of his game. I was like, I couldn't believe this was Joe Biden.
Tiptoeing right through the tulips there.
Right. And same with Obama's advisor, David Axelrod. He was all dry mouthed on Fox News yesterday. He seemed very taken off, he just was grasping, and, you know, he was responding to Obama's own, you know, words on of Bill O'Reilly a few nights ago, saying, you know, that the surge was, you know, unanticipated success.
I took exception to that one, I'll tell you.
And it just seemed like, wow, you know, this just give it a weekend, and these guys seem spooked.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, let me take a break, and when we come back, one of the things I want to talk about is the extent to which the McCain campaign picked up on the most effective weapon of the Clinton campaign in the late stages of the primary, because I think that is what Palin is achieving on the Republican ticket. We'll pick up there as we continue. My guest is Kelly Bokar of Lajos. She's a freelance political reporter, does some work for Fox News. Try not to hold that against her. You can call in right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
John Fogerty can't take it no more, and I'm there with him. When I watched John McCain's acceptance speech last week, the warmonger was there calling himself a man of peace. He's the guy who has advocated bomb, bomb, bomb Iran and talked about the success of the surge, which he claims ownership of. And yet he reconfigured himself there as the guy who is going to come in with his busload of lobbyists and reform Washington, and that this pistol-packing Mama from Alaska is going to drill in everybody's backyard until we've got more oil than we'll know what to do with. Kelly Bokar of Lajos is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Kelly, just before the break, I was mentioning something that I also have in a blog post that people can find at peterbcollins.com. And I'm guest blogging this week at airamerica.com. And one of the points I make is that the thread that the McCain campaign picked up on was the late-breaking, rather effective strategy used by some of Hillary Clinton's supporters to paint her as a victim of sexism, misogyny, and the Democratic National Committee. Very late in May and in the last week of June, or the first week of June there, before Clinton formally ended her candidacy. Do you see that connection, Kelly? And do you think that Steve Schmidt and the others looked at that and said, here's our silver bullet. We get a white woman up there to criticize this African-American presidential candidate.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I do think that this was a, you know, and I'm not breaking any news here, but a strategic pick. I don't buy any of the business about her being qualified in her own right or a spectacular pick in her own right in terms of, you know, her record as a governor. You know, she just hasn't had that long of a time in office. Her resume is thin. I mean, there's all sorts of things that hadn't come out apparently during their own vetting process.
Right, and Kelly, they keep, you know, trying to stress that she's the only one with executive experience because she's been governor. But that takes out McCain as well as the Democratic senators.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest spin that I heard during the convention. But that was absolutely on the front page of the talking points. I mean, I heard it so many times within the first 48 hours of that convention that you just know it was in the talking points. They had to take this thin resume and beef it up with some spin, and that's exactly what that executive experience malarkey is about. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to denigrate any town councilmen or, you know, mayors of any town. I've covered many of them. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are stronger than others in terms of the way their local governments are set up.
Right.
I don't know too much about Wasilla's local government and how strong the mayor is there. But to use that as her primary qualification, you know, transcendent qualification for Vice President of the United States, it's just all spin.
Yeah, I sure agree. Let's talk to Hal in Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Hello, Hal.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, I think, you know, I have a really strong feeling that when Bush first was running for president and the woman that was one of his campaign strategists brought up the term compassionate conservative, and I've been sick about it ever since then because it's an oxymoron. And I think that we need to bring back the term and point out that the Christian right that Palin has energized is not the compassionate conservative, but the passionate Christians. And I think that the Christians need to realize what compassion is, and they'll find it a lot more in on the left.
I agree, Helen. It's why I raised the point that he or she has made what I consider to be religiously extreme remarks in her own church and doesn't recognize the separation of politics from religion. And she's a candidate. Yet so many people are fired up about Jeremiah Wright, the former pastor of Senator Obama, and try to blame Obama for the remarks, including the goddamn America comment that's taken way out of context, attributed to Reverend Wright. So to me, you know, her embrace of extreme religiosity is much more of a concern than anything that Pastor Wright ever said.
And it's sort of like Tom Hartman and some of that other person that we have to frame it and we have to get the terms back in their face, because you know what they're doing is not compassionate. And you know, remember when the right started making a negative term out of the bleeding heart liberals? Well, bleeding heart, that's what bleeding heart is compassion. And so, you know, we need to take the term back. And you know, the fact that Biden is a Catholic, you know, one of the other types of Christians have against Catholics is the fact that they don't revere Mother Mary. Well, Mother Mary is the compassion. That's what they're revering in Mother Mary. So I think that it seems to me like what Kelly said earlier is, I found this too. I was watching yesterday, and both Biden and Obama just seem like they're not on their game and they're afraid to talk about religion or family. And
all right, I gotta run to a break here. Yeah. Thank you, Hal, for your call. Kelly, great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right, my pleasure. That's Kelly Bokar of Lajos, a freelance reporter and a contributor to Fox News. We're going to take a break and return, talk about Fannie and Freddie with Andrew Yakov. Well, he'll help me. Andrew.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The most powerful atom smasher ever built, the multi-billion-dollar Large Hadron Collider, will be turned on the day after tomorrow. First beams of protons will be fired around a 17-mile tunnel along the border between France and Switzerland to test the controlling strength of the world's largest superconducting magnets. The proton beam will whiz around the tunnel counterclockwise 11,000 times a second, leading up to another test firing the beam clockwise at the same speed. And then in a month or so, firing those beams clockwise and counterclockwise so that the protons will collide and shatter into fragments that release quarks, gluons, dark matter, and energy comparable to that of the Big Bang, physicists say, started the entire universe. Skeptics have filed suit, saying this is risky business that could create a black hole that might devour us all. More after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
In an effort to explain the Large Hadron Collider for us mere non-physicists, one of the staff there did a rap song that Sam Letziger played part of for you on the Osgood File last week.
The matter is created from energy, which is exactly what they'll do in the LHC. You get matter and antimatter in equal parts, and they try to take possession when the universe starts. The Big Bang, back when all the matter.
One of the four major installations in the Large Hadron Tunnel is a Large Ion Collider Experiment, ALICE, ALICE. And the team working on the ALICE has done an Alice in Wonderland comic book. Alice, who has just followed a rabbit down one of the holes, not a black hole, let's hope, is told by a physicist named Carlo, quote, "We create many Big Bangs by bumping two nuclei into one another, creating thousands of quarks and gluons and helping us understand the makeup of matter. Now do you understand?" Me neither. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
You said send me a songwriter.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, Treasury Secretary Paulson said he needed a bailout for Freddie and Fannie so he wouldn't have to use it. Over the weekend, Freddie, Fannie got together with Uncle Sam and said, "Give me your money, please. Let's start with $100 billion each." Well, in an appearance in Colorado today, Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin made it clear that she doesn't know much about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Speaking before voters in Colorado Springs, she claimed that the lending giants had gotten too big and too expensive to the taxpayers, which really shows that she doesn't quite understand how they're structured. And on this one, while I'm happy to expose any of the weaknesses of Sarah Palin, I have to say that I have my own areas of ignorance about how all this is structured and what it all means. So we turn to somebody who knows more than I do, Andrew Jakubowicz from the Center for American Progress, and he is a fellow there who is in charge of, I'm getting the bio, Associate Director for the Economic Mobility Program. He works on housing, household debt, higher education, and other issues to sustaining and growing the middle class. Andrew, welcome to our program today.
Thanks for having me.
And I need the tutorial, Jakubowicz?
Jakubowicz.
Jakubowicz.
Yeah,
okay.
That was good.
That's not too... I'm trying to read it as I say it, and I guess I should just stop. Jakubowicz.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, welcome to our show. And first of all, the confusion that Sarah Palin is exemplifying, would you say it's fair that most members of Congress, even people who have been there for 20 years, have a kind of fuzzy notion of how Freddie and Fannie work?
I mean, my sense is that the folks in Congress have a much better sense than others do, but it is... There are a lot of misconceptions floating out there, one of which, obviously, is that I think people tend to assume that Fannie and Freddie make a lot of loans. They don't actually make any loans at all. They buy loans that local banks have made to individual borrowers and homeowners and basically provide money into the mortgage lending system, into the banking system. And that's their critical role, and that's why the concerns were if they were to go under, basically to the extent that the housing markets are functioning today, they are not functioning all that well, you know, folks out in California certainly know, they would basically grind to a screeching halt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the concern that was expressed, and that's why the government stepped in and said, you know, what, we're going to back these guys so they keep fulfilling their important role.
Now, Andrew, back there in July, way back in July of 2008, when the administration came and said, well, you know, we need a package just in case. And
yeah.
Secretary Paulson said, everything's fine, this won't be needed. And my BS detector went off big time. And I'm not an expert on these issues. Did you have the same reaction when we were assured that the passage of this bailout language means that we won't need to use it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, if you want to draw a parallel, it's sort of like, allow me to saber rattle in Iraq because we're never going to go in. So if you think about that as kind of a parallel that kind of explains part of the approach. But I think that the concern was really that the existing regulators, that the Office of Federal Housing Enterprise Oversight, that mouthful is abbreviated OFEO, didn't have the powers it needed to rein in some of the excesses of Fannie and Freddie. They posed a serious risk to the sort of mortgage markets and the credit markets. So the new regulator that superseded OFEO, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, stepped in with greater authority. And one of the powers given to Treasury under the housing bill back in July was, in fact, they could step in as a conservator. And, in fact, I think actually the interesting thing is that they went with a more circumscribed and potentially less costly type of intervention than what I think Paulson was kind of implying that they were going to try and do back in July. So from that perspective, I think taxpayers are sort of better off, given the constraints effectively placed on them by the housing bill, rather than simply saying, hey, we're going to backstop all those bonds that are out there. I mean, now that at least the taxpayers have some recourse in the process.
But the housing bill essentially provides an unlimited loan guarantee, right? It's a blank check.
It is and it isn't. I mean, it is up until the point at which we hit the total borrowing limit of the federal government. So we're still ways off. So on that level, it's largely a blank check. But on the other hand, there is a limit there, as well as they've been given a credit facility of $100 billion, which is not insignificant by any stretch of the imagination, but it's, again, certainly not unlimited.
Mm-hmm. Now, Andrew, it's been described that these efforts with the housing bill and with this intervention, they're trying to establish a floor, a bottom, for the current downturn in the housing and credit markets. And I do understand the psychology there, but isn't it premature to try to impose a bottom when the market continues to decline, housing prices continue to fall in most parts of the country? And it seems to me that they are trying to, buy relief here when these are the very people who tell us to believe in free markets. So
yeah, well,
I have a little trouble reconciling those two.
Yeah, the free market philosophy has clearly been thrown out the window. We probably would have been better off had they thrown out the window, 8 years ago and actually used the regulatory authorities that they had and their powers that they had to, encourage greater transparency in lending practices. And a number of other types of regulatory powers that they had. But I think there's a second piece that also speaks to the fact that putting a floor on housing is not the direct result of their actions this past weekend. I think that it's sort of a nice talking point.
Mm-hmm.
But an individual borrower who is having trouble making their mortgage payment doesn't directly benefit from the fact that that mortgage payment is going to get passed through what is now the conservator of Fannie and Freddie as opposed to Fannie and Freddie directly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the short version of this. The truth is there is now an opportunity for the conservators to restructure the loans that they now hold on behalf of the taxpayers, basically, into mortgages that can be repaid. And in doing that, you help find the floor. So it's not that you're trying to set an artificial floor, it's that you're trying to get to the point at which the floor becomes real. And I think that if they use the powers that they have now, the FDIC has already done something similar to this when they took over IndyMac Bank by saying, look, we're going to take all of those loans that are sitting out there that are having problems, we're going to do a streamlined refinancing process, and we're going to move forward. At the end of the day, it's far less costly to restructure a loan for someone who can afford a slightly lower payment than to proceed to foreclosure because of the cost of that whole process, the losses, the fact that you now sit with a house that has to get resold, which then further drives down local property values. So mm-hmm. The more you can do to prevent properties from falling into foreclosure, the faster you help find that floor.
Now, Andrew, it's represented that Freddie and Fannie only back conforming loans that by definition are not subprime. And so the borrowers are allegedly qualified, the properties are allegedly assessed appropriately, and so where is it that Freddie and Fannie have gotten into trouble if their standards presumably should have prevented this kind of weakness in the portfolios?
So, again, some of the blame falls at the feet of the regulators who, when Fannie and Freddie said, hey, we've got, those affordable housing goals that we need to meet, that we need to make sure that we are buying up or backing a certain number of loans in underserved areas, that low-income families have an opportunity to participate in home ownership, that minorities who have been typically excluded from buying homes have access to credit. So instead of saying, okay, we're going to create a loan product out there, or we're going to set criteria for types of loans that we're going to buy that act in the best interest of those borrowers, instead they said, oh, you know what, there are these things out there called subprime loans, that a lot of them are written at levels that, you know, won't be sustainable and are dangerous and have prepayment penalties and all sorts of other things. And the regulator basically said, oh, you want those to count? We'll count those. And so they, in fact, sit on not only a huge number, but a substantial number of subprime and what are known as Alt-A, so these are slightly below prime but not quite subprime loans. Often those Alt-A loans have less documentation. Some of those are the liar loans, the ninja loans, the no-doc loans.
Mm-hmm.
But they hold a substantial number of those. Again, relative to the total size of their portfolio, relatively small, but not insignificant. And so they have, again, had the regulator step in and said, no, in order to meet your goals, you need to make sure that you're offering or going to buy up sustainable loans that the borrower, that these low-income borrowers who are far more susceptible to predatory lending practices will be able to sustain. Had they done that, then a lot of these problems would never have happened. So I think from that perspective, there is a lot to blame. The fact that the GSEs wanted to do that, the Fannie and Freddie wanted to do that, is certainly, you know, enough, you know, sort of certainly there to blame for that. But the fact that the regulators let them do it without really batting an eyelash, and it wasn't until last year that we got subprime lending guidance. You know, they're several steps behind where the market had been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a big piece of where some of the problems lie. And again, you know, you mentioned sort of the fact that these properties were certainly, you know, supposed to be appraised, you know, honestly, and in a lot of cases, there was no independence between the appraiser and the lender. So you get these drive-by appraisals and things mm-hmm. like that certainly inflated the value of properties. And once you have one property that whose value is inflated, the next time you come around to figure out what the value of the neighboring property is, you take into account the inflated value, and you can see very quickly how it escalates from there.
Billy joins us from Capitola here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Say hello to Andrew Jakubowicz.
Hello, Andrew. Thanks for coming on and helping us understand this.
Sure, my pleasure.
Peter, you're doing a good job.
Thank you. I'm trying.
So, you know, this is a perfect example of some of the things we've been talking about for years now. This is a poster boy of, for example, it's a hybrid, this thing. It was sort of, you know, government-backed, but they paid their CEOs like they were risking their own money, and it invented the new Apple computer.
Mm, yeah.
Am I right about this, Andrew?
Yeah, the CEO reimbursement is sort of way out of whack.
In the many millions of dollars a year?
Yes.
Yes. And in fact, the guy didn't start the company, did he?
No. The current
he has no risk at all.
There was no garage.
No.
Andrew, for example, could have run this company, this business, I don't know what you want to call it, it's not any of those things, better than it was run, and yet this guy's walking away with a $20 million parachute. And that's the other thing we talk about. You know, you talk about the middle class. The middle class will never get its due if the original distribution of wealth continues the way it is. And now, I'm happy to know that I am an owner of all the bad loans in America, and that somebody else has found a way to completely socialize all the losses.
Yep.
And take huge risks for huge rewards, but only I eat it. I don't get the money on the top side. I just eat the losses. We are in the most crony capitalist thing in the world, and isn't this a good example of it?
Well, Billy, you make an excellent point there about the profits being private, the losses being socialized or, you know, spread across the taxpayer base. And, Andrew, there is a provision that the government gets some preferred stock in
yeah.
Fannie and Freddie. But how will that play out over time, assuming that they, you know, recover and grow in their portfolios in the future? How does that get shared with the American taxpayer?
If, in fact, they draw down from the credit line that they've been given, in exchange, they have to basically pay preferred dividends. So the taxpayers basically come first before any other shareholders would get their dividend payment. So that's basically kind of that piece of it. And the other piece is that they have the government has the right, the conservatives basically have the right to buy up nearly 80% of the companies. So if they become profitable, the government basically says, well, you know, we basically allowed you to survive, and so we get the lion's share of your assets. But I think that it raises an important question in terms of what the appropriate role for these guys is moving forward. Is there a better way to balance the risk and the reward? And what's the appropriate role of government in all of this? And I think one of the key pieces that I think is important not to forget is that the government-sponsored enterprises, in some form or another, need to exist to provide a counter-cyclical source of funding when the private market basically says, we're not going to make loans anymore, we've got this credit crisis going on. And I think if the GSEs hadn't been around over the course of the past year, the housing crisis would have been even more exacerbated. And I think that that's one piece of it. But the other important thing is to recognize that historically, the types of mortgages that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have backed are 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. And so with good underwriting, that basically created the gold standard for lending to homeowners.
Well, this is a business that did not have to go bad. It was bundled and stretched. That if local community banks had kept their loans, we'd never be in this trouble.
Well, and also the deregulation is a critical factor here.
Part of the issue is that historically, when we relied only on community banks, then the ability to borrow was very much constrained to the way the local economy was functioning.
And community banks wouldn't be giving no paper 100% loans either.
Right.
Yeah.
That's certainly true. The flip side is that you can sort of minimize some of the ups and the deeper downs by relying on a nationalized source of funding, which is basically what Fannie did for 75 years or 70 years.
One other thing before I go, I just want to mention, and that is that Peter always talks about the shareholders like they're the bad capitalists. No, actually, the shareholders are just the suckers along with the rest of us, Peter. They got destroyed in the Fannie Freddie thing. It all went away. It's really upper management that's the problem, not us poor investors.
No, I agree. And who we bailed out are the lenders. That's the real effort here.
It's always the fine guys who get screwed last. Yes.
We're protecting the money people in other parts of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And our markets. We're going to take a break and return with Andrew Jakubowicz from the Center for American Progress. He's Associate Director of the Economic Mobility Program. We're talking about Freddie and Fannie and the bailout. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. I propose a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the weekend bailout of Freddie and Fannie. Andrew Jakubowicz is with us from the Center for American Progress. And, Andrew, I promise to let you go here in one more minute because I know you've got a conflict in your schedule. But I just wanted to ask you what we should be looking for, because I am not convinced that our legislators and the administration really analyzed this completely before they took these steps.
I mean, I think that the thing to look for is to see what they do with the loans that they now hold. I mean, one of the things is they're holding, you know, a huge number of loans in portfolio. In other words, not even the mortgage-backed securities, which is a whole other piece of the story, but loans, sort of whole loans in their entirety. And whether they look at the loans that they're holding and say, look, some of these aren't performing, we need to restructure them. If they don't do that, then the average American isn't really going to see any real benefit in terms of stability for the housing market.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to recognize is that they're also sitting on, sort of, again, through Fannie and Freddie, a sizable number of foreclosed properties that these guys have already foreclosed on. And the question is how they choose to dispose of them. If they decide to convert them to affordable housing and then sell them off that way affordably, if they just try to dump them on the market further and ultimately further drive down
mm-hmm.
property values, I mean, there are real questions as to how they're going to act moving forward.
Yeah.
And I think that part of it is that if we kind of keep an eye on that, as well as having a real open discussion with our legislators, with the next president, as to what the appropriate role is for the government in the mortgage market. We know the conservatives believe there's none whatsoever.
Right.
I happen to believe that they play, again, an important countercyclical role. They play an important role in terms of affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And not wanting to lose those policy levers while recognizing that the current situation of, you know, as we've said, you know, sort of socialized losses and private gains,
mm-hmm.
There's got to be a happy balance there. And I think
yeah.
that's a discussion that we should be looking forward to.
All right, Andrew, don't be late. Maybe you're picking up kids or something. But thank you very much for your time today, and we'll talk again.
Great. Thanks very much.
All right. That's bye-bye. Andrew Jakubowicz, close to that. And he's at the Center for American Progress. Will in Eureka, listening on KGOE. Welcome, Will.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I'm more or less an ex-mortgage broker because of what has happened in the so-called subprime debacle.
So you're an involuntary ex-mortgage broker, is that it?
Basically, yeah, basically that's it. And we were taking the bad press of a lot of this, and it needs to be kept in mind that basically we were selling what was offered to us by the various banks, such as Lehman Brothers, the Aurora Loan Services. I did a lot of loans with them. A lot of Alt-A loans, stated income, no-doc loans, which certainly has their place, especially in areas like this in Humboldt County where there is a lot of off-the-books income. I mean, that
yes.
is just the way it is.
Yes,
people
indeed.
Have good credit, and they're going to pay you back.
And they're working California's number one cash crop. Yes.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
And credit score really means more than anything. and having earned the money yourself. The biggest problems that I saw were people that inherited property, had no history of managing money, and would soon inherit a free and clear property and hawk it to the hilt, mm-hmm. and then come back and hawk it to the hilt again and have crummy credit in the process. So they had subprime loans.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, Will, I got to run to a break here. What are you going to do next?
Well, I'm going to do basically what the government's going to allow me to do, and that's going to make loans on land, because there's so many rules and regulations now that it's basically not liability.
All right, feasible. Sir. Thank you for your call, Will. Great to talk to you today. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Government intervention sends mortgage rates lower.
It does add some confidence to the mortgage market. It does assure the availability of credit.
Hurricane Ike weakens, but that could change.
Ike has reemerged over the waters south of central Cuba.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Taxpayers will be saddled with billions in debt, but the Treasury Department's move to stabilize the nation's two giant mortgage lenders had an immediate impact on mortgage rates. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
The most popular mortgage, the 30-year fixed rate, fell half a point to 6%, now averaging 6.2%. Greg McBride at Bankrate.com.
The government's takeover of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac assures the continued availability of mortgage credit.
With less risk, so banks and other lenders charge less. But most jumbo mortgages don't benefit, not covered by Freddie and Fannie, and no one's predicting a rapid recovery in the housing market. Dan Revive, CBS News, New York.
But every little bit helps. Mark Zandi is chief economist at moodyseconomy.com.
This should help to support the housing market. It should bring the housing downturn to an end sooner than it otherwise would have. And, of course, that's key to everybody's net worth, their jobs, and overall economic conditions.
He says mortgage rates could fall close to 5.5%. The stock market is thrilled. Today, the Dow jumped 289 points to 11,510, a gain of 2.5%. Now this.
Let's talk about the power of going home. At the end of a workday, we go home. The holidays, you head home. Why? Going home makes us feel good. To care for your Cadillac, take it back home, where right now it's good wrench and go time. Just head to your participating Cadillac dealer and down their good wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a good wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one package. And while you're there, have them check your tires. Should you need them, they can recommend the proper tires for your Cadillac. Good wrench and go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four,
maybe five push-ups is all I can do.
But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthy.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
Cuba's been hit hard by Hurricane Ike, which came ashore as a Category 3 storm. CBS News reporter Portia Siegelbaum is in Havana.
Eastern Cuba is basically without power. The phone service is basically down completely. In some cases, because the transmission towers were knocked down. In other cases, they took them down to prevent damage.
More than a million people were forced to evacuate their homes. As Ike hugs the island's southern coast, it's gotten weaker, but meteorologist Todd Kimberland at the National Hurricane Center says Ike can't be written off this early.
Although it's a Category 1 right now with 80-mile-per-hour sustained winds, it wouldn't be surprising to see some sort of redevelopment so long as the center remains offshore.
And then it moves into the Gulf of Mexico.
Right now, you know, the storm looks like it's heading right into Houston, but there are high-level troughs of air and steering currents that may have an impact on the storm.
FEMA's Glenn Cannon warns that evacuations have to start 48 hours before the onset of tropical storm force winds. More U.S. troops will be leaving Iraq, but more troops will be going to Afghanistan. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
In a speech tomorrow at National Defense University, President Bush will announce plans to withdraw another 8,000 U.S. troops from Iraq by early next year. That includes 3,400 combat support forces who'll be pulled out over the next several months, along with a U.S. Marine battalion now serving in Anbar province. But at the same time, Mr. Bush will announce that in November, he's sending another Marine battalion to Afghanistan, followed in January by an Army combat brigade. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
John McCain has pulled ahead of Barack Obama in the latest CBS News poll.
46% of registered voters say they support the Republicans, John McCain and Sarah Palin. 44% support the Democrats, Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says Sarah Palin gave McCain a boost. More voters say they were affected by her convention speech than by either presidential candidate's speech. While Palin attracts Republicans, she may repel Democrats. Hillary Clinton was trying to exploit that sentiment today when she campaigned for Obama in Kissimmee, Florida.
No way, no how, no McCain, no Palin.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Unwanted noise is everywhere. Airplane cabins, city bustle, office distractions. But you can fade background noise and enjoy your music more with Bose Quiet Comfort 2 acoustic noise-canceling headphones. Bose QC2 headphones were originally designed for air travel, but owners say they also enjoy them whenever they listen to music, in the office, at home, and on the go. Acclaimed Bose noise reduction, lifelike sound, and a comfortable fit. Try QC2 headphones for yourself by calling Bose at 800-511-3012. You'll be delighted by the difference Bose noise reduction technology can make. TechnologyReview.com says it's as if someone found the volume control for the world and turned it way, way down. And the sound? Well, Travel and Leisure Golf says you'll think you're on stage with the band. Call now, 800-511-3012, to try Quiet Comfort 2 headphones risk-free for 30 days. When you call, ask about making low monthly payments with no interest charges from Bose. Order now for free shipping. 800-511-3012.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B.
Hey!
Later this hour, we're going to check in with John Brakey in Pima County, Arizona, where he's an election protection activist, and they took him into protective custody the other day. He was on the job as an election observer for libertarians and Democrats, and he noticed some problems with the seals on some bags with ballots, raised a question, and got ejected from the building. And he was arrested for being an election protection guy. We'll talk with Mr. Brakey a little bit later this hour. But first, it's time to check in with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. Cliff, welcome to our program today.
Thank you so much, Peter. How are you?
I'm a little flummoxed. I put up a blog post at peterbcollins.com, and I'm blogging this week, the guest blogger at airamerica.com.
Oh, cool.
And I shared the Saturday Night Live at our house just this past weekend, fueled by mojitos and a little barbecue. We sat down with our Republican neighbors, Hank and Gail, and they're buying what's being sold. And, you know, the Republican talking points, the Hannity talking points, the reformer language, the over-the-top defense of Sarah Palin, who's now a victim, they're buying the whole thing lock, stock, barrel, hook, line, and sinker. And it was a little scary, to be frank, Cliff.
Yeah, I think it's looking at both of their records, it's a lot scary. I think there are a lot of people right now. I mean, I don't try to sort of get swayed back and forth by poll changes. You know, the changes in poll numbers. Obviously, McCain's gotten a bump out of his convention, and that's to be expected. But you know, I've discussed this with you before on the show. This is something more that I've been worried about for a while now, which is, again, it just seems to me that when one side is saying that the other side literally would be happy if we lost a war as long as they lose an election, and is questioning, you know, their religion and everything about them, and the other side that's being questioned responds by saying, well, our opponent is a terrific and honorable man, but he just happens to be wrong. You know, who do you think wins in that scenario?
Yeah.
And I every 4 years I go through this and I say to myself, you know, we have to have won. We have to have learned, right? We have to have learned from the Dukakis thing, right? And we have to have learned when the truth of the matter is that Bill Clinton was so gifted that he did a great job and ended up winning, and whether Perot helped or not, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any proof either way, but there's no doubt that I think that that election was made artificially closer by all the character assassination launched against Clinton. You know, 96 was different because things were good and there really wasn't much they could do at all. But it just seems like it happens again and again. They got 2000, the election in 2000, they made close enough so they could grab it and steal it by going after Al Gore and turning him into a liar. And yet our only response was to talk about Bush's extreme policies and not go after, I mean, this guy who literally is a walking, a walking lack of character.
And huge conflicts of interest that are readily visible. You don't have to dig deep to see Randy Schuneman and to see, Rick Davis and Charlie Black. The people who are part of his inner circle are deeply conflicted. And yet the media doesn't focus on it, and we are seeing that the Democrats aren't hitting back with the same kind of impact and clarity as the Republican attacks. And,
right.
And if you just take the litany that was written for Sarah Palin in the address she gave last Wednesday night, those zingers and, you know, little attacks on community organizers and attacks on the liberal media, all of that stuff is designed to distract us from the issues. And while Obama did step up to a new level in his Mile High Stadium speech in contrasting himself with John McCain, it was all the Senate debate stuff. It was about the issues. It was a gentlemanly set of disagreements.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know what I feel like when that stuff happens? I feel like, you know, I was very happy with Obama's speech, but it's almost like you have to be happy with what you get compared to what you had. Because that speech, he was willing to go after McCain so much more than he had in the past that I was very happy about it. At the time, I said I wasn't happy with Biden's speech. I wasn't, you know, I didn't think he did nearly enough going after McCain, and I think it's been the case since then, the same thing. But, again, it's all relative. I was really happy because Obama hadn't done any of it before. You know who gave the best speech that convention was John Kerry. I mean, and that's an amazing thing because, you know, it seems like John Kerry, being on the receiving end, actually learned from 2004.
Mm-hmm.
He went straight at McCain's character. He called what he was doing despicable, pathetic. You know, you'd have to read his whole speech, but he went after him in a very personal way. While these guys are saying seem to preface every attack with what an honorable guy McCain is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an honorable guy. If he was, he wouldn't switch every position, literally, you know, quite literally be in bed with 150 lobbyists and be willing to launch the kinds of attacks he's launching. And frankly, you know, I thought I laid out pretty well in my book, apparently none of them have read it, the numerous, numerous problems with McCain's character, his judgment, his temperament. I mean, yet I've heard some attacks on that from Harry Reid and a few others. I've seen it mentioned here and there. I saw Obama mention it, you know, in his speech very sort of subtly. But the truth is that this guy is insane. And his own people, I mean, where's the commercial quoting the five guys in his own party that have said that he's not fit to be president because of his temper.
Yeah.
Thad Cochran, Pete Domenici, Charles Grassley. I mean, I don't care what they're saying now, now that they've been forced to fall into line. You know, they're using Hillary Clinton quotes from the primary. These guys are all on record.
Now,
Cliff, these things about
Cliff,
him. And,
one of the problems that Obama and Biden and the campaign are facing is that McCain hides behind the POW shield, and Sarah Palin has quickly learned to hide behind the sexism, misogyny, liberal media shield that was invented by Hillary Clinton a few months ago. And so how do they launch attacks on these people when there is a chorus ready to defend them and label anything, even the, you know, the most appropriate criticism as beyond the pale? And we do see that the Democrats are intimidated by that and haven't found their footing.
Yeah, well, it's tougher, you know, with certainly with Palin, because there's been so much talk of sexism during the entire campaign, as you said, that's out there. But the truth of the matter is that if they kept going after her for the very, very much on, you know, I mean, leave the thing with her kid alone. You know, Us Weekly and People magazine's covering that, and people are reading it at checkout counters. You really don't need to talk about her family, and really I'd rather not. I mean, go after the complete falsehood on the lobbyists and Bridge to Nowhere, because that ties into your message about lobbyists, too, and show that she's a patently dishonest person, and go after her for the scandal that's brewing. And I really haven't heard them talking much about that. I mean, this abusive power that she engaged in is very similar, if not the same thing, as what President Bush did with the attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's remind people of that. When it comes to McCain, you don't need to attack anything that happened to him while he was at POW. But my God, I mean, questioning the, you know.
No, but he's used that to try to shield himself from questions from Jay Leno about the houses.
And you're right, and he will, because he's shameless about it. But I think when we were going after him on the houses, it still hurt him. He tried to use the POW thing and probably successfully a few times got people to stop questioning him on it. But when they put those ads out, they forced the media to talk about it. You know, sadly, the media is not going to talk about these things unless we force the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to. We have to push them to do it by putting these ads out. And the truth is that, you know, I look at it as political malpractice, what we engaged in with President Bush, because we never told people how demonstrably unfit to be president he was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how inexperienced, unready, and with John McCain, we're committing the same. A lot of people out there who aren't on the inside baseball track don't know about his temper, don't know about his lack of judgment. They don't know these things.
Cliff Schechter's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm delighted that Terry's called from Monterey. Cliff, Terry worked on the McCain campaign back in 2000, but he's not on board today. Hi, Terry.
Hi, sir. I agree with much of what your guest says, but I wish he would acknowledge that Bill Clinton's character speaks for itself. The record is atrocious, and he, too, was also unfit to be president, as he demonstrated. John McCain is unfit, although I worked my heart out for him in 2000 because I believed he could be Teddy Roosevelt, as he told me he was committed to being, regarding the environment, regarding ejecting the theocrats from our government, and restoring a focus on good, competent, fiscally sound government.
I believed all that, too, which is where I start my book with why I was a McCain supporter largely back then.
Interesting. Did you work at the headquarters in Alexandria?
I'm sorry?
Were you at the headquarters in Alexandria, the McCain headquarters?
Oh, no, I mean, I never worked for him. I just was somebody who, as a Democrat, was thinking very seriously about supporting him in 2000.
I understand.
And because of everything you're saying, he seemed like a Republican who was acting in good faith.
Two things. I do not recognize the man's positions from anything close to what he and his brother and I discussed over lunch with not that many other people, more than a dozen times, that summer of 2000. I don't recognize him as a former officer. Shifting the views on his support for veterans, on this, and not recognizing that the Iraq campaign is nothing more than an invasion to extract and steal somebody else's property, namely their oil.
Mm-hmm.
The clear corruption and abuses to the Constitution, I can't see why he can't recognize. And my last point, Peter, is as a former military officer myself, if McCain had said, I want to take this woman who's never been in the Navy and ever be the number two commander of my battleship or aircraft carrier, he would be removed in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And the Republican National Committee should have had the courage to say, you're going to pick somebody who's clearly competent, And McCain should have had the courage to say, fine, I'm picking, in his view, Lieberman or Tom Ridge, and I'm picking them regardless of their position on denying pregnancy termination rights mm-hmm. to women all over America. And if you don't like that, then leave. Where else are you going to go? And had McCain had the courage and the wisdom to stand up and basically be Teddy Roosevelt, as Teddy Roosevelt was in the election in 1912, perhaps he would win anyway. But not with Palin. And then my last point is the Palin thing. I just must emphasize she is unfit, underqualified, and dogmatically handicapped.
Well, I agree. Now, Terry, let me just ask you about one thing, because you flatly said that Clinton was unfit. Now, I concede that he perjured himself. He lied under oath. And I don't dispute the judgment of the House of Representatives to return the articles of impeachment against him.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you have to say that in view of the last 8 years, that was a speeding ticket, and that we've had mass murder committed by the current administration?
Well, once again, Clinton should have been removed, in my view, and Gore would have had 21 months, and Gore would have won re-election in 2000, and we wouldn't be in Iraq, and we wouldn't have all the other thefts of billions from us now and future generations, et cetera, done by the Cheney, Bush maladministration. Had two senators, I'm curious if your guest agrees with me, had two Democratic senators gone down and told Clinton, you committed perjury, you're out, goodbye, Al Gore comes in for 21 months and we got a better chance at re-election. Does he agree with that?
All right, Cliff, a quickie.
Cliff, you agree?
I respectfully disagree. I'll explain more after the. I think you're going
okay.
To
yeah, we're going to a break and I'll get your explanation on the other side. Terry, thanks for the call. Cliff Schechter with us, the author of The Real McCain. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And my email is peter@peterbcollins.com.
Serve Aero Engineering Incorporated in Salinas reminds everyone, when taking to the roads, drive carefully and watch out for our children. They're not always aware of danger. If you're near a park, playground, or residential area and see a child or group of children, please reduce your speed. Your awareness is our hope and a child's safety depends on it. This message is courtesy of Serve Aero Engineering Incorporated in Salinas. Proud to help make a difference. Wishing kids a great, productive school year.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. New injury crash just coming in South 101 before Laurel. This is in Salinas. Two cars in the center divide. Emergency crews and CHP on the way. For Santa Cruz County, Buena Vista Drive at Larkin Valley Road. Watch out for a dog that's reportedly running around the lanes. Highway 17, as you make your way through Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checks in, stall and accident free. And we have nothing going on for Highway 68 right now. Still looking pretty good there. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. As always, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Would you like some Red Hot Chili Peppers with that?
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cause with the birds I'll share.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Californicating on your radio. So far, it's not illegal. We continue with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him, and Why Independents Shouldn't. And Cliff, before the break, Terry was asking a hypothetical about, you know, should Clinton have been impeached, then Gore would have had 21 months for a head start on winning the election in 2000.
Right. I think Terry had a lot of great things to say. I just disagree with him on this. My opinion of Clinton's personal character after the way he behaved is not very high. But in terms of politically and in terms of, you know, what should have been done to him, I just have to look at, we can't get to a place where a group of partisans like Ken Starr and that whole gang of corrupt GOP House members, all of whom were having affairs of their own, can spend $60 million to start in one place and ask questions about Whitewater, which was completely bogus, and, you know, privately talk to lawyers for Paula Starr illegally, or Paula Jones, sorry, mm-hmm. and set him up in a manner in which they can play gotcha politics with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a partisan witch hunt from the beginning, and I'll say he perjured himself too. But the question, there's a concept in law that a lawyer, the fruit of the poison tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was not okay for that question to be asked. It was not okay for them to start a fishing expedition in one place, waste taxpayer money in years attacking a president in an overtly partisan way, being funded by a billionaire, Richard Mellon Scaife, at the Arkansas Project. If Democrats did anything close to that, we would have gotten Bush out of office long ago, a guy who, in my opinion, has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. But it shouldn't be done that way. It should be done based, and had those things been done to John Kennedy and Dwight Eisenhower and others who had affairs, then who knows if we'd ever have any president. So I try not to judge their personal behavior, like a Republican would. I try to judge what they do politically. And in terms of what Bill Clinton did politically, I didn't always agree with him, but I think he was a far above average president. My God, compared to this moron we've had the last 8 years, I'm sorry for lack of a better word. But
let's talk to Michael in Carmel Valley. Hello, Michael. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Cliff Schechter.
Hello, Peter, and hello, Cliff.
Hey, Michael.
Peter, I, of course, have to make my disclosure. I'm the author of The Nogic Pheromone.
Sure.
And it's back to my favorite talk about truth and the truth technology that is just basically around the corner. Hopefully we're not going to go through another election like this. Before we have an emerging truth technology that's underway right now that's going to be able to...
But Michael, even with truth technology, we have a spineless media. When they're confronted by obvious and clear lies, they can't bring themselves to use that word.
Well, the media is going to be one of the first powers that have to be tested by the technology?
Well, we got to do whatever we can. I mean, you know, the fact that McCain and Palin literally just put out an ad touting that she was opposed to the Bridge to Nowhere after she's made two huge speeches saying that, which is just an absolute out-and-out lie,
yeah.
And seem to have no fear that they won't get away with it, and they are getting away with it right now because of the...
And Cliff, when I brought that up with my Republican neighbors, Hank and Gail, they said, oh, they all do that.
Right. Oh, really? Yeah. They just conked them on the head with something.
And then there was a
daze.
Then there was a brief pause, and suddenly Bill Ayers was being discussed.
the cult kicking points, the cult talking points kicked back in, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You had that moment where they had lucidity going on, perhaps.
Only a moment. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll take as many of those moments as we can.
And I'd like another mojito, please. Thank you, Cliff. Always great to talk with you. Cliff
right.
Schechter.
Thanks a lot, man.
The Real McCain. Go out and buy it and read it and send a copy to Harry Reid and Barack Obama and Joe Biden. They need it. Coming up next, John Brakey reports on his arrest while protecting elections in Arizona. That's driving while, I don't know, with your eyes open. We'll talk with him next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Palin McCain. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The first numbers are in, and yikes, after a convention that was shortened by a hurricane and which unveiled a political unknown as vice president, the Republican ticket is up by 10 points. There are big crowds and long lines for campaign events. What we are witnessing is nothing less than the first election in American history where the vice president is at the top of the ticket. This is the Palin-McCain ticket. Only 5 days after her big speech, first speech in history to have an entire country repeating a hockey joke, Sarah, who already has one-name status, Sarah has developed a Reagan-esque star quality and the Teflon coating to go with it. There are all sorts of stories trying to pick her apart today, that she, in fact, was for the Bridge to Nowhere before she was against it, the story that her husband is a member of a party pushing Alaskan secession. It rolls off. Why? I have a theory. First, she's the only candidate with no tragedy in her background. She wasn't tortured, didn't have to overcome a stutter, didn't have to wrestle with her identity because of an absent father. Her big setback was coming in second for Miss Alaska. She represents the triumph of the regular neighborhood mom. And something else, too. People say she looks like a librarian. Yeah, but there are librarians, and then there are librarians. You get the feeling that Sarah is the type of librarian who, under the right circumstances, would take off the glasses, let the hair down, and meet you at the footbridge after the ice cream social. For target practice or a discussion of foreign policy, of course.
Alaska's right next to Russia.
Yeah, now this.
Believe me, I'm a guy who likes to get his money's worth. That's why I'm gaga over Clear Eyes for Dry Eyes. I get my money's worth because Clear Eyes for Dry Eyes gives me relief that lasts. Why does it last so long? Because it stays in your eyes, that's why. The soothing moisturizers in Clear Eyes for Dry Eyes are specially formulated to stay put. For lasting relief, get Clear Eyes for Dry Eyes, the no-drip drops. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Don't play that song, that achy-breaky song, the most annoying song I know.
Oh, I did it again.
And if you play that song, that achy-breaky song, I might blow up my radio.
Yes, from the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives, we dip into the Weird Al Yankovic collection for his ripoff of Achy Breaky Heart. And it is the song we use to play on John Brakey. He is a CPA and an election protection activist in Pima County, that's Tucson, Arizona. And I had the pleasure of meeting John finally in at the Progressive Center there. In Denver at the Democratic National Convention put on by the Progressive Democrats of America. And I welcome you to the program, Jailbird. How are you, John?
Hey, it's John's grabbing. It's Bill Reisner. He's trying to grab a phone in the other room.
Oh, okay. Bill Reisner is the attorney who has been working on many of these issues. Bill, I'm pleased to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you, too.
All right. And I think we have John now on the other line. John, are you there?
I do. Hi, Peter B.
Okay, great. So
I miss you in Arizona.
Well, I miss being connected to your area because when I was on KPHX, we got a lot of great response, and you have some terrific people there working on election issues. John, let me first ask you to tell the story of what happened last week because you are a poll watcher, an election monitor, designated by both Democratic and Libertarian parties in Arizona, and you were on duty, and tell us what happened from there.
Well, the first thing, it was my position, my responsibility, was to verify the sanctity of those bags, that the seals were on them from election night.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I walked in, Brad Nelson, turned around and said, gee, John, I got asked about all the bags, security. He said, but two had a mistake by the poll workers. And two out of nine, that's understandable. So I went around and I looked and I found it was three. So then they started opening bags, and I was with Brad Nelson, and the first bag he opened up, we then go look for the certified report that validates the seal on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was in there was a white piece of paper, and then Brad looked at it, and it was two scribbled names. You couldn't even make the names out, and the seal number. And he says, yeah, oh, this is the report. Yep, I know those people. And we only have 3,000 poll workers,
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, I then went into the other room because those bags were already open. People were just sitting there chit-chatting. And I walked up to a table, and I said, these are mostly my friends because we organize getting these people to do this audit. And it's a random recount, very limited. And I said, did you check the seal against the yellow piece of paper to certify report? And they said, no. There was no paper here, John. So I went to the next table, asked the question. At that point, Brad Nelson came in. He says, okay, that's it. You're out of here. You're ordered off the premises. And I go, what? And so I went to the third table, asked that question. And so now I have 7 out of 7 bags that the seals were violated.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went to the hallway, made an appeal to the deputy county attorney, a guy named Jerkowitz, and I don't think I need to explain any more than that, except the name matches him. And and he just shrugged his shoulders. And then they ordered me to leave. I said, I'm sorry, I have to be here till 1 o'clock. I have a replacement. You know, it's very much, you know, civility is very, very important in what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. And but I said, I'm sorry, I can't leave till 1 now, 1 o'clock. But I says, you know, you say I can't talk to my own poll auditors who are doing, and it's not a recount, this is an audit. And they said I couldn't even talk to them. In fact, they didn't even allow us to have a piece of paper and pencil in the room unless they provided only for those workers. It was just the most crazy thing. And I've been working with these people for 4 years, watching them really hard.
Yeah.
And found disturbing things. But from there, I just want to say one thing about this guy, Bill Reisner, on the line. You know, I've been an activist most of my life. I didn't know it. But this is one of the best lawyers. And I want you to just let you know this now. He's the only lawyer I know who sits at his computer and he has Linux on it and learned it.
Wow.
And 2 years ago, you know, he didn't know very much about computers. And this guy, this lawyer, this activist, this great human being has just done some of the most remarkable things, made history in this country, and really laid down a format and a plan for other lawyers across this country to help take back our voting system. And Bill, I love you, and thank you for what you do. Bill Reisner.
Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. You know, when you give a guy a free defense, he'll say all kinds of things.
Oh!
Well, now, first of all, John, did you need to be bailed out? Did they actually put you in jail?
No, they put me in handcuffs, and my hand is very badly swollen because I just had a bad injury on May 8th. I fell off a roof. And I had 6 pins, and they cuffed me so hard that I don't know what they did, but I have a swelling, and I put it to go for x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And we just took pictures of it.
And has Brad Nelson apologized?
No.
No, no, there's a criminal charge pending for trespass for John being unlawfully present.
Now, how could that be?
As the Democratic Party official appointed observer.
How could that be, Bill? That appears to be a specious charge.
Well, sure. You know, we have an election director who just makes up rules. And so at the beginning, his rule was that you couldn't take pen and paper in. And you couldn't write down what anomalies you were finding. And then John asked questions of basically Democrats that... And every person in that room was appointed by a political party, because the whole point of the audit is for political parties to have volunteers that go there to confirm whether the machines are accurate or not.
Mm-hmm.
So John's asking questions of people, but Brad Nelson says, wait, my rule is you can't ask questions. His rule is you can't ask questions and you can't have pen and paper. It was absurd. And so, you know, John asked questions of people. And then Brad says, well, you know, in that case, then he calls the cop in because you're breaking his rule.
Hmm.
And this is a rule that's not written anywhere. It's not part of the law. He just decided that if you're a party observer, you can't talk to anybody, that if you want an answer, you got to ask him the question, and then he goes and asks the question. Absurd.
That's Bill Reisner along with John Brakey. Now, John, did you push Brad Nelson over the Brakey point?
I would say not. And I'm the one who should be pushed over. I mean, just having to deal with people like this. But, you know, that's part of the job of taking back our democracy, is to make sure that before we do things that we think about what we're going to do. And I did draw a line in the sand, and I did it righteously, saying, I'm sorry, I'm appointed by two political parties, so I have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, oh, my God, do I really want to be arrested? No. But is it something that you have to draw a line and do the right thing? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we caught him. You know, how could you audit something? These are very minimum counts. I mean, when we talk about 4 races, 9 precincts, they're randomly drawn, okay? And we're finding that somebody else has gone through this stuff, and we know this may have happened 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And that's the RTA ballot measure?
No.
2 years ago, or is that?
Yes. Well, that was a little longer than 2 years, wasn't it, Bill? It was,
May of 2006.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which we see tremendous anomalies that Bill could go into.
Well, I would like to go there. Is there anything else about this incident, John, you want to mention before we move on?
Well, the only thing I would say is this, is that, it concerns me what I'm reading, what Brad wrote about other areas that these same identical problems are happening, and that, you know, a lot of these elections directors, you know, they have a philosophy from R. Doug Lewis. It's basically this. A good elections administrator is an administrator who knows how to hide all of the warts. Brad says, I know when I've done a good job, Brad Nelson, is that I wake up in the morning and my name is not in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're tired of the shenanigans. It was a very low turnout for a primary, which it usually is. We have no idea how he's going to handle a big general election with these problems that he's having.
All right. That's John Brakey in Pima County. That's Tucson, Arizona. Also with him is attorney William Reisner. And, Bill, your background, just based on your letterhead here, is you're a trial lawyer who does personal injury and wrongful death. What got you into the election game?
I think I was born into it. You know, I'm just someone who's been involved in the political process. And so I first represented the Democratic Party in a redistricting election case 37 years ago. So it's not something that comes up a lot. You know, you can't earn a living. It's not a specialty or it's just something. But I like to be involved in the political process.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how, you know, we all have our obligations as citizens, and this is one way that I can participate.
Now, if you could give us a quick summary of the RTA election. This was a ballot measure that would have imposed a tax to pay for regional transit. And there were a number of anomalies in this 2006 election. And, Bill, I've been able to review the letter that you wrote to Arizona's Attorney General, Terry Goddard, on July 14 of this year, which enumerates a lot of the issues and the anomalies related to this local election.
Well, there's a whole list of them. You know, the people in this county had voted, I think, four times to reject a half-cent sales tax increase to pay for new roads, and the roads primarily were on the outside of the community that benefited home builders. So you had the growth industry that wanted those roads, but four times the public said no, and the fifth time it passed, according to them, 60-40, which was more or less the percentage that it had failed each time previously.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a laundry list of things that were really different about it. And, of course, one of the things we have now is a sworn affidavit from a citizen who was told by the computer operator that he, in fact, had fixed the election.
Mm-hmm.
Because our Board of Supervisors was unanimously in favor of it. The county administrator was strongly in favor of it. And I think what really got us going was when we saw that they had, after they counted some like 13,000 ballots and backed up the results before the computer was closed one evening, that then the next morning, 33 seconds later, the computer operator overwrote that data. And there was no reason for this person to have done so. This was a person who, at that point, for 10 years had been working with that software. And then later we developed information that he actually would take home each evening a CD copy of the data during an election. And then, of course, we knew that at a home computer, it's very simple to make changes, to flip the results, and so forth. So we started accumulating lots of evidence that was consistent with the election really having been rigged.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know for sure that that's the case, but it turns out that we have the ballot still in existence. And so what we've been trying to do is, given the confession, given the evidence, the see if that election was rigged, and we have the same election director, the same computer operator that are running our elections, and we can't permit them to be in control of our elections when we have a the computer software, the Diebold software. The county agrees that it's a piece of crap that can easily be rigged, easily cover the tracks. And in fact, for that very election, an outfit named Ibeta in Colorado found evidence that, of anomalies, evidence that shouldn't be there. And their conclusion was that it probably was not evidence of a crime, because it's so easy to hide your tracks that a semi-competent criminal would have hidden the tracks.
We're going to take a break and return.
Evidence, to them, meant that probably wasn't a crime because it's too easy to hide the evidence.
All right, we'll pick up there as we continue. That's Attorney Bill Reisner in Tucson, Arizona. John Brakey, the election activist, is with us as well. We'll take a break and continue. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-372. Is that right? No. See, I've been giving out the number too long. 888-573-8372.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. New injury crash just coming in South 101 before Laurel. This is in Salinas. Two cars in the center divide. Emergency crews and CHP on the way. For Santa Cruz County, Buena Vista Drive at Larkin Valley Road. Watch out for a dog that's reportedly running around the lanes. Highway 17, as you make your way through Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checks in, stalling, accident-free. And we have nothing going on for Highway 68 right now. Still looking pretty good there. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet, because the fight against global warming has just begun. As always, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask how many rockets are in outer space. Why is education failing? Ask where are the safeguards in banking, water, energy, health, inflation.
Ask what you can do for your country.
9 p.m. Saturday, The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Bo and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
We're continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking about election issues from Arizona. John Brakey, a longtime activist in support of election integrity, and a guy who we've talked with on many occasions during our regular hour with Brad Friedman on Fridays. He's with us. Just escaped the clutches of handcuffs after being on duty at a primary election review last week. And also with us is Bill Reisner, an attorney who represents the election activists there in Pima County, Arizona. And, John, when you and I talked in Denver a couple of weeks ago, we were hoping that I could get an interview with the Attorney General of Arizona, Terry Goddard. We did look around for him at the convention, but, you know, it was a crowded place with 15,000 reporters, so I didn't find him. But if you could talk to the Attorney General right now, what are the top two questions you would ask him about the investigation into this RTA election from Pima County in 2006?
Well, I would say that I would lead into what Bill has already said. He knows these things, okay? And I tell you what, Bill, could you answer that? Because I think you're a lot more qualified, I mean, to answer that.
All right, Bill, go ahead.
Well, I'd ask him what he's waiting for. You know, it's easy for the Attorney General to subpoena the ballots. It would be easy for him to count them, to choose from precincts, and find out fairly readily whether or not that election was rigged. And we have our morning newspaper in this community has said the ballot should be counted. The afternoon paper has said it. The Board of Supervisors even claim, the RTA claims it should be done. So it's something where they have postured saying that the ballot should be counted. There's a huge question, it should be done. There's either a crime or the public needs to know that there wasn't a crime. So I guess that's what my question to him would be is, what are you waiting for?
Now, John Brakey has supplied me with this lengthy letter you wrote to your Attorney General on July 14. That's almost 2 months ago. Has he managed to get back to you?
Yeah, they have opened an investigation. He has appointed the head of his criminal section, which is a different guy than the guy that did the whitewash previously. And they interviewed Zbigniew Osmolski, who's the person who the computer operator confessed to. They interviewed another person who was there at the bar that talked to Zbigniew, who knew the computer operator and saw him at the bar. They interviewed another person who was there that had the computer operator pointed out to him and told what he said, although he didn't know the person, so can't confirm that it's him. So they have two witnesses who were there that evening that confirms what Mr. Osmolski said, who, you know, has no stake in the case. Mm-hmm. So they've proceeded, and they have, a lot of information. Where they're going next, I don't know. They're not sharing that with me.
All right, Bill. Just a sec, John. Bill, on your in the documents here, there's a list of 18 anomalies related to this single local election, and I'm curious about the final one, number 18. Jim Berry retired from his job as the county administrator's assistant in early 2005 and was immediately hired by the county to do a precinct-by-precinct study of how Pima voters had voted in bond elections and other duties as assigned. He collected $75,000 from the county for this contract and at the same time collected $12,000 from a pro-RTA group for helping him with the RTA campaign. Now, this seems to be a very clear conflict of interest, and don't know what your local laws are related to the revolving door, but it seems for him to quit his job and then get a contract and then be permitted to work both sides of the election, well, that wouldn't be legal in California.
Well, I'm not sure here. It's certainly a conflict of interest. You have him working for the county administrator, Huckleberry, and what Huckleberry had him do, of course, was that computer analysis of all the prior elections of bond elections by precinct, so they would know which precincts favored which can work with the RTA Yes Committee that was collecting money from the home builders and car dealers to push it. So he was working essentially with three groups, the county government, the RTA, which is a governmental entity, sort of a special district,
mm-hmm.
and the Yes people. Sure, he got something like 12,000 from the Yes people and uh-huh. 75 from the county.
And Bill Reisner, let me jump in. Our time is tight, and I want to get a final comment from John Brakey. Go ahead, John.
Well, the only comment I'd like to make is this, is if anybody's ever saw the movie Hacking Democracy, where Harry Hursty bought this machine to reprogram the memory cards, mm-hmm. which is really a burglary tool. Pima County bought it 10 months before, and it couldn't be a clean flip because they knew that there's certain precincts would never vote for it. And then on election day, we had the highest failure of optical scanners we've ever had in the history of Diebold or Global here. There was 75 machine failures that we know of. They tried to report only 35.
Mm-hmm. John Brakey, thank you for your advocacy. Thanks for putting yourself on the line and fighting for options.
Thank you, Peter B.
Bill Reisner, thanks for joining us. A pleasure to talk with you today.
Sure, thank you.
All right, and keep fighting, gentlemen. We appreciate your work. Coming up next, the Free Speed Zone. Liberal media in America will bring you the details.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Mortgage rates fell sharply and stocks rose as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac opened for business under federal government control.
This means that mortgage rates come down and eventually there will be more mortgage credit, which is key to the housing market and by extension the financial system and the broader economy. So stock investors like it, and they should.
Mark Zandi of MoodysEconomy.com. The Dow gained 289 points to close at 11,510. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason explains what happened with the two mortgage giants.
When you buy a house, you take out a loan from a bank. The bank will then sell that loan to Fannie or Freddie, who in turn repackage the mortgages and sell them to investors. But many of those investors were losing faith in Fannie and Freddie, making it difficult for them to raise money and threatening a freeze of the credit markets. The government takeover was designed to restore confidence.
And that it did. The average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate loan fell to 6.2%, down from more than 6.5% last week. Mark Zandi says mortgage rates could fall close to 5.5%. President Bush, in a speech tomorrow at the National Defense University, will announce plans to bring another 8,000 troops home from Iraq before he leaves office. CBS News correspondent David Martin takes a closer look.
It's not exactly a dramatic reduction. General David Petraeus prefers to refer to it as a thinning out of forces. If you take 8,000 troops out of Iraq, it brings you down to about 136,000, which is really the troop level that existed before the surge began in January of 07. So they're sort of back to where they began before the surge began.
At the same time, the president plans to send another battalion of Marines to Afghanistan in November and an Army combat brigade in January. They cheered Sarah Palin today when she campaigned with John McCain in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and Republicans in general are cheering.
John McCain supporters are happy she was chosen. 85% of McCain supporters say that.
In the latest CBS News poll taken after the conventions, Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says John McCain has pulled ahead of Barack Obama 46% to 44%.
And the number of McCain voters who say they support him enthusiastically has jumped from 24% in August to 42% now. Hurricane Ike is moving along the southern coast of Cuba. It's centered just offshore. It's weakened to a Category 1 storm, but meteorologist Todd Kimberlane says it's not over by any means.
It should reemerge in the Gulf of Mexico late Tuesday and early Wednesday. And at that point, we think that there will be every opportunity for it to regenerate further.
Ike's projected path would take it toward the Houston area, but forecasters say that could change. The storm caused extensive wind damage and power outages in Cuba. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Look, engines need help to increase gas mileage. You need help at the gas pump. And Advance Auto Parts is the place that's going to help out with both. Right now, you can increase your gas mileage and help your car perform the way it should with this great deal on Valvoline Complete Fuel System Treatment. You buy one 12-ounce bottle and get one for free. Yeah, you heard me, free. Now, the offer ends September 27th, so pick some up, pour some in, and put some distance between those trips to the gas station. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
Surviving cancer depends on early detection, good treatment, and follow-up care. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports that third part leaves a lot to be desired.
In a study in the journal Cancer, records for more than 4,000 colon cancer patients were reviewed to determine if they received proper follow-ups.
The majority, 60%, did not receive appropriate care.
Not only that, Dr. Gregory Cooper at Cleveland's University Hospital's Case Medical Center discovered more than half got expensive high-tech scans.
We suspect that in most cases they were just being done for routine follow-up.
Something that's not recommended in treatment guidelines. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
It's estimated that nearly 150,000 Americans will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer this year. Lawyers appearing in Virginia Beach General District Court will have to restrain themselves. No more patting police officers on the back. One judge says it suggests a good old boy system and smacks of impropriety. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Let's talk about the power of going home. At the end of a workday, we go home. The holidays, you head home. Why? Going home makes us feel good. To care for your Cadillac, take it back home, where right now it's good wrench and go time. Just head to your participating Cadillac dealer and down their good wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a good wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one package. And while you're there, have them check your tires. Should you need them, they can recommend the proper tires for your Cadillac. Good wrench and go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four, maybe five
push-ups is all I can do.
But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthier.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone today. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. First Amendment still in full effect. The Fourth, not quite so. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. In digits, that's 888-573-8372. Bring them together. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. You want to talk about Sarah Palin and John McCain? My ears are wide open.
I've been in the cave for 40 days. Only a spark to light my way.
I was a box 5.5 years.
I want to give in.
That's what Fred Thompson said.
This is our crime. This is our sense, but I still believe. I still believe through the pain and through the grief, through the lies, through the storm, through the cries, and through the wars. Oh, I still believe.
And I dedicate our music of the moment by the call, I Still Believe. I want to dedicate this to Rachel Maddow. Just an hour from now, Left Coast time, her program will debut on MSNBC. And I'm very curious. I'm not sure exactly how much it'll be like Keith Olbermann or how much it'll be like some of the other shows there on MSNBC. But I'm sure rooting for her. Rachel does a great job on her program on Air America. She's going to continue on the radio as she adds this television show to her portfolio. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how she thrives, survives, or doesn't in that NBC corporate culture. Interesting announcement was made today, a decision allegedly taken over the weekend, that due to pressure from the corporate parent, they've decided that Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews will not be the co-anchors of election coverage, debate coverage, and other official events like that from now to November. They tried them out on the conventions, and I have to say, I didn't get exposed to much of that. In Denver, where we were staying, the cable system did not include MSNBC, or if it did, we couldn't find it. And last week, while the Republicans were convening in St. Paul, I chose mostly to watch the speeches on public television because I could hear the whole speech. So I don't know to what extent Olbermann and Matthews went too far or caused problems or were too opinionated. The stuff that I saw didn't cross any lines that troubled me. And so here on the very day that Rachel Maddow, an out liberal and an acknowledged lesbian, I don't know that she advertises that on television, but she's going to launch a show that actually provides the target that Giuliani and Palin and others were attacking last week. Liberal media. And I wish her all the best. I've told you this before, but a signal moment occurred in July when Rachel was subbing for Keith Olbermann and she was covering the Senate's cowardly vote on the FISA amendments, the ones that rolled back our Fourth Amendment rights. And as I've said, the context there was she was the substitute host. And I've done that. I've subbed for many people, Tom Hartman, John Elliott, Ed Schultz, other people. And when you're the substitute person, you don't go full throat. You don't go full throttle. You kind of pull your punches. You don't want to show up the regular person. And you're kind of feeling your way along with management that you don't necessarily know terribly well. Add to that that Rachel Maddow knew at the time that she was being auditioned. She was being considered for the show that they have announced that launches tonight. And it didn't seem to faze her in the least. She presented an excellent package. I agreed with every word of it. She was speaking for me about the phony, false choices presented in the debate, about the unnecessary immunity granted to telephone companies so that we'll never know what they did to us. And then she brought on Jonathan Turley, law professor from George Washington University, and they proceeded to have a great interview. And so that's the high water mark. Can Rachel do that every night? The answer to that is clearly yes. But the follow-up question is, will NBC allow her? So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. 888-5-PETER-B. I got a couple of lines open. School's back. We're back on the regular schedule. And so we're providing more time for your phone calls. So I want you to call. Don't wait till the end of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B. I've mentioned a couple of times on the show that this week I am guest blogging at airamerica.com. And I wrote a piece that's up today. I just sent in a little update that'll get posted at some point, and we'll be updating it all week long. But in it, I mentioned that we had dinner with our Republican neighbors over the weekend, fueled by mojitos and a little barbecue. It was a hot summer night. And my Republican neighbors are not dark neocons. They're Republicans out of self-interest. Hank's the VP of a financial services company, manages funds for rich people. And he's a low-tax, small government, pro-gun Republican. Didn't especially support the war in Iraq, but kind of accepted it because it came with the Republican package. He really only started to ask questions about that a couple of years ago. And so it was with some trepidation that we started talking politics. And Hank was pretty quick to trot out the Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity talking points. Said, oh, I'm really worried about Obama. I think he's captive to black liberation theology. And then he cited a book that neither of us had read, in which he said, every page shows the danger of black liberation theology. And so as he talked about that, I said, well, you know, then he mentioned Reverend Wright, and then he mentioned Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground. Now, these are all the talking points that come out of the conservative media in this country. And Hank was serving them up faster than we could get stuff off the barbecue or freshen up the mojitos. And so I said, okay, you're worried about Reverend Wright. He's not running for president. But your candidate for vice president is on YouTube with a 7-minute video shot at her church in Wasilla, Alaska, where she repeatedly crosses the line of separation between church and state. And I said it chilled me when she said to pray for her son who's going to Iraq and that our soldiers are on a task that is from God. I said, doesn't this religious extremism scare you? And they were deeply offended. And they continue to be really worked up about Reverend Wright, even though they acknowledge that the goddamn America soundbite was taken way out of context and is being used in a vicious way. But even when you persuade them about something like that, their emotions remain at the same level. And Hank got so pissed off when I equated Sarah Palin's religious extremism with the kind that he objects to from Reverend Wright, and that she's on the ticket and he's not. His response was to get up and clear the table. So I think it's going to be very interesting, and if you have Republican friends or family members and you've been going through this, share your approach and your comments. I'd love to hear from you. And just the final thing on my dinner with Hank and Gail, at the end of it all, Hank admitted that he thinks Obama's going to win. And that kind of floored me. To your calls now, 888-5-PETER-B, and Dave in Monterey, you're on the PBC show. Go right ahead.
Well, hi, Peter. Hey, I want to talk about a little bit of something that didn't get much coverage last week, and that's the heavy-handedness of the prosecutors and the police at the convention.
Yeah, well, we did cover it. Amy Goodman was on our show, and
yeah.
Nicole Salazar, her producer, talked about it, too, and we spent a good bit of time on Friday talking about it as well.
I realize that we do here, that mainstream media hasn't even just zero.
You're right. You're right. They have covered it up.
And well, covered it up is exactly right, because we're talking about some heavy duty criminal activity here. I mean, just, you know, denying people, you know, their right to speech, basically tearing up pamphlets and, you know, just throwing people in jail and the flimsiest of charges and beating people up. And then, you know, what really got me was on Alex Jones on InfoWars was an article about a friggin' Republican delegate. This guy shows up at the convention with, I guess, some antique flag from his family, I don't know, the Civil War or something, and the cops steal it.
Huh.
It's unbelievable what's going on in our country, and nobody talks about it.
Well, the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, and Amnesty International have all raised messages of protest about the heavy-handed security and police action in St. Paul. I think we will look at this a little more on our program and see if we can find others who were affected. But clearly, the word went out to intimidate particularly the independent media. The people who are not part of a commercial network, who have a video camera and a credential, I think they were the ones singled out for the heaviest
And not only that, Peter, but the Ron Paul delegate votes weren't even counted. They just kind of just went right over the top and said, well, it was a unanimous decision. And can you imagine showing up in an election and you go, well, we're voting for Ron Paul. They go, well, we're not counting those. I mean, it's just unbelievable what goes on in our country in the name of liberty and democracy. Just astounding.
All right, Dave. Well said. Right. Thank you very much. More of your calls coming up next. I've got one or two lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. You can always email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to work.
Governor Bush swung far to the right and sought out the base support of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. Those aren't the ideas that I think are good for the Republican Party.
I believe that the Christian right has a major role to play in the Republican Party.
Neither party should be defined by pandering to the outer reaches of American politics and the agents of intolerance.
You believe that Jerry Falwell is still an agent of intolerance?
No, I don't.
It took us a long time to get in the situation we're in, and to say that and somehow assume that in a few months that things are going to get all better, I think is not realistic.
Say it's all in. How long are you going to give it to work?
A few months.
That Al-Qaeda is going back into Iran and receiving training and are coming back into Iraq from Iran, that's well known.
So
I'm sorry, the Iranians are training extremists, not Al-Qaeda.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off with problems on 101 South 101 before Laurel Drive, Salinas. We have a four-car crash still clearing off to the shoulder. CHP is on the scene. They're waiting for tow trucks to arrive. Traffic is heavy in both directions as you approach the scene. Also 101 both directions between Spence and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. We may still have some various lanes shut down as they're installing new a concrete median barrier there. That is adding to the delays. East of King City, 198 at Priest Valley Road. An injury crash where a solo vehicle overturned, and we don't don't know if any lanes are blocked. Emergency crews on the scene. This is major injuries, and someone fled the scene as well, so you will see a lot of police out near all that activity. Also, 101 near Tennant, we have reports of a large piece of debris. Cabinets in the right shoulder and center divide. Someone has pulled over, and they're attempting to remove those cabinets from the lane, so definitely drive with caution. This is brought to you by Unisom. Unisom is the only sleep aid without a prescription that's clinically proven to help you fall asleep faster, sleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. For healthy sleep that works every time, choose Unisom. Nate Nix with traffic, KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. My lines are open in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B. This last hour, right about this time, Cliff Schechter and I were talking about whether Barack Obama and Joe Biden are being tough enough, returning the fire from the Republican attacks. And Ari Melber, who's a regular on our program and a writer for The Nation, he's got some posts up right now at the WashingtonIndependent.com. He's following Obama in Michigan today. These folks are shameless, thundered Barack Obama after listing his Republican opponent's distortions and economic plans. He went on to say he ridiculed Governor Palin, and he said, what are they talking about? How do they have the nerve to say it? Tweaking the Republicans for co-opting his change mantle with empty words. So it does appear that Obama is getting a little tougher on the stump. Why are we in Baghdad spending $10 billion a month? Why aren't we building an America? Well, he's turning up the volume a little bit. Let's hope that they sharpen their knives a little bit, too. Back to your calls now. And Greta in Monterey, thanks for calling the PBC show.
Well, I've been thinking about this Sarah Palin thing a lot, and I keep coming up with different ideas. And the latest, I'm puzzling, well, why do these evangelicals keep going for these people? And I finally came up with the conclusion is they think prayer means they don't need to know much. And I think they need to emphasize, Obama's campaign needs to emphasize, we've already had a president who thinks he knows that God, what God told him to do, and look what a mess we mm-hmm. got, they got us in.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, Sarah's nickname, you know, she's sort of going on about how she's a pit bull with a lipstick
right.
and a barracuda and things like that. And I'm like, that foreign policy made a that kind of foreign policy made a mess. And I think they need to emphasize that kind of thing. You know, they
well,
don't.
I sure agree, Greta, because you know the Democrats are now saying that the economy is going to be the determining theme of this campaign. And, yes, the economy is a mess, and we need to remind people of what the Republicans did to get us there. But we also need to underscore the major foreign policy debacles, including Iraq, including the failure to really respond to the true threat from Pakistan. And we need to constantly remind people of that and try to get back from the distractomatic machinery that is the media is reflecting right now. Because they're not challenging the very themes that you're taking on. They're just reporting it at face value and letting the Christian right suck it up. Greta?
Yes.
I didn't want to cut you off. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I'll probably think of it again. And thanks for letting me talk.
You bet. Good to hear from you. Now to Susan in Soquel listening on KRXA. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. I was just thinking when you were talking about barracuda and pitbull, we should really call her a shark because that's what she is, you know.
Well, and they've been using the song Barracuda by the group Heart, and Ann and Nancy Wilson have repeatedly told them, Niet, you have not,
heard that.
You don't have permission to use that song.
Right. Well, you were talking about talking to Republican friends and stuff, and really there isn't any way you can kind of reason them out of their super, because it really is an emotional base. It's a belief thing rather than a no thing.
Yeah.
You know? And but what you can do is ask a lot of questions. You can ask them what they think these guys are going to do for them. You can ask them, you can just you know, find many, many questions to ask them, which will allow them to see that their reasoning isn't there, you know, and just keep following the stream and just watch them.
Well, yeah, I understand your point, but
yeah.
I tried to, you know, kind of step in what I thought was a fairly neutral issue about the bridge to nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, what she said in her convention speech isn't true. She wasn't always against it. And my neighbors responded, well, they all do that.
Yeah,
so
you're still trying to argue it out with them, and that's not where to come from, because they really need you to be their friend, and just as we all need friends, and to communicate on a different level. And when you ask a lot of questions, you're stirring their curiosity, and you're getting their interest up, and you're also getting them to think for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that all too often they have prepared answers that were canned and, you know, served up by Rush or Sean or one of those types.
You can ask them. You can say, well, that's what Sean said, but what do you think she's going to do?
Oh, I've used that line before. I used to follow Rush Limbaugh every day. Thank you, Susan.
It's just my suggestion, because that's the way I can get to people myself.
I value your input. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break and return to more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term. long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Watch out.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with a shout-out to our late-night listeners in San Francisco. Yeah, they listen on Green 960 and stay up all night long. Some of them even catch the opening moments of the Bill Press Show. More of your calls coming up in just a moment here in the Free Speech Zone. There's one line open. If you have a free speech message you want to unload, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And now with a high-tech hookup, we bring you Dan Ferraro, the guy who draws the Bizarro cartoon. Dan, welcome to our program.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
And Johnny Steele, the indefatigable comedian from the San Francisco Bay Area. Hi, Johnny.
Howdy, Peter. I'm one of those guys who listens late night on the Green Radio on the way back from some horrible gig somewhere where you're just like, God, I must hear the voice of sanity, and that'll throw you on.
Well, I'm glad. It's readily available there right after midnight, and I'm shocked at how many people find it. And I am safely asleep when the show is on in San Francisco, just in case you were worried about that. Now, you guys are part of a show at the Grand Lake Theater this Wednesday. Is it Wednesday night?
Correct.
Okay. And, right. Johnny, what's the scene here? Set up the vibe for us.
Dan?
Oh, Dan. All right, Dan, what's the scene? Set up the vibe for us.
Oh, Johnny, I was hoping you were going to be doing vibe and scene setting, but I'll give it a shot. We're gonna do a comedy show. Johnny's gonna do he's doing like
2 hours,
and then I'm gonna do a little time after that, and we're gonna talk about politics and social situations and just general humor, and I'm gonna show. My show is actually more less stand-up comedy and more kind of visual stuff. I show a lot of artwork and cartoons and things, and talk to the crowd, and I do a certain amount of stand-up. And of course, Johnny's always funny. He's actually way funnier than I am, and I should be following him, but it's my show, so tough monkeys.
Okay. Now, Dan, what I understand you do is you show some of your recent tunes, your drawings, your cartoons,
yes,
and some of the email comments that you get from your fans and others.
Yeah, I do. I do. It's one of my favorite things. One of the audience's favorite things always is the hate mail. Just the kind of various idiotic stuff that people send to me about the various cartoons I've done. It's fairly unbelievable.
And so I'm at bizarro.com right now. Do you post any of those emails for people like us to see, or do we have to pay cash and come and see you live?
Yeah, no, I actually don't post the emails. I guess occasionally on my blog I will throw in a little something from somebody. It seems like I just did one the other day. It seems like I just threw in the other day, and I can't remember what it is. Let me see if I can talk about something, and I'll see if I can glance through.
Okay, and I'm at bizarro.com. If you go there, you get some kind of animated sequences here of some of the characters that you often see in the Bizarro comic panel. It's not a strip. It's a single panel. And what he packs into one panel amazes me on almost a daily basis. Is that enough, Dan?
Actually, in some markets, I do run out the strip. It's one picture. It's still one picture, but it is it's the width of a strip. You know, it's a long skinny thing instead of a tall.
Well, I see you in the downsized San Francisco Comical, and they just show you as a single panel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it's that's the way it's always originally been offered, and that's the way most places do it. But like the LA Times runs it as a strip. It's just a, you know, it's just a way to get kind of give editors more choice or whatever.
Right. And
yeah, I just found a letter here. I did a cartoon about The Little Prince, the famous children's book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a general Little Prince. It's just a little satire of Little Prince where he murders the entire royal family to rise to power, and then he regrets it. And this guy writes me, and it's a big long thing I posted on my blog, but yeah, this guy writes me this big long letter. This is what he's offended by.
Mm-hmm.
He's not offended by the Bush administration. He's not offended by the Iraq War. He's not offended by gay rights. He's not offended by disease or war or famine. He's offended by someone satirizing the Little Prince because he calls it a wartime masterpiece, and you know.
And didn't Sarah Palin have that book banned at the Wasilla Library?
Yeah, well, actually, from what I've heard, Sarah Palin has moved to get all books banned, which could, if the letters were rearranged, create obscene or inflammatory comments.
Well, and those evil Harry Potter books, that's got to be stopped.
One upside to this whole Sarah Palin thing is this would be the first vice president in the history of the United States, if she were elected, that has a worse education than I have. Didn't you like? She got like a bachelor's degree in communication from like Idaho State.
Right.
I was on the football team, and guess what they directed us to for a major? Communication. If you had to play football 20 hours a week and couldn't study, well, get a communication degree. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, before we move on, I've got a bunch of callers who are dying to offer their opinions here. But I'd just like to ask you each for a little advice. I posted a blog item today. I'm guest blogging at airamerica.com this week. And it's the tale of my dinner with my Republican neighbors over the weekend. And they are deep in the Sarah Palin soup. They think she's a victim of the liberal media.
Oh, my God.
And that when we ask questions about experience and Trooper Gate and the Bridge to Nowhere and who really was pregnant last winter, that this is just, scurrilous attacks on the next Virgin Mary.
Oh,
and I'd just like each of you to give me a little advice. Johnny Steele, I know you've done some OxyContin just for research purposes. Would you suggest that I, get a load of Oxy on before I talk to him again?
I suggest you change your phone number, first of all. Get a better grade of friend. Yeah, I don't know what you can do with these people. I mean, there is some sort of Kool-Aid being consumed out there. I think I need to read the George Lakoff book, How to Communicate with These People Again, because we watch the ad on TV. Remember the ad where McCain compared Obama to celebrities? Remember
right.
this?
Sure.
And then so my wife and I watched this, and we're like, oh my God, what kind of moron would believe this? What kind of idiot would fall for such an obvious, blatant, ham-fisted stooge attack? And then 3 days later, you open the newspaper, and McCain has jumped up 3 points.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't even know how to communicate with these people. I have better conversations with, you know, strangers I meet in Barcelona on a train than I do with neighbors who think that Sarah Palin is some sort of genius and she's being vilified and beaten by the liberal press.
Dan Peraro of Bizarro, can you help me here? Do you have any advice?
Well, you know, Barack Obama, part of his campaign right now is to put more money into education and make college more affordable. And, I mean, these are exactly the sort of people he's talking about. This is why we need to put more money into education. This nation, it's a nation of idiots. I mean, not all of us, present company accepted, of course, and all the listeners. But I'm just not one of these guys who thinks that everyone should be allowed to vote. I know that's heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next question is, I just think there ought to be a simple test. A simple test you have to pass to be able to vote, to make sure your head isn't completely up your butt. And the test, it's one question. When you open your eyes, do you see the inside of your butt? That's it. If you can pass that test, you can vote. And there goes about 60% of our voting public.
Well, Dan, I'm kind of with you. I was one of those people who cringed at Motor Voter because it's so easy to register to vote in this country, and to make it automatic just means that morons, what I call the Wheel of Fortune voter, are going to be making the decisions.
I totally agree with both of you guys. You know, I have some properties, Peter, and that's sort of what I do in my side hobby is we rebuild old rehash old properties, rework old properties. And you know what? If you want to add another couple of babies to your family, go right ahead, as the Palins have demonstrated. It doesn't take much more than a teenager and a six-pack of Moose Jaw beer or something. And it really, and if you want to vote in the, you know, for a leader of the most powerful nation on earth, go right ahead. If I want to move a light switch 18 inches in my kitchen, I need 15 forms from the city of Berkeley.
Yeah.
We need to rework what's important and rethink about what would people need to take tests to be able to get. And I mean, we banned lawn darts in 1980, like 45,000 people a year die from gunshots. We decided, let's get lawn darts off the market because this carnage must stop.
Well, and you've got all those barriers in the streets in Berkeley. I hate that.
Yeah, that is tough.
Trying to take a back street, get off University Avenue, and you just get nailed.
You know what it is? We put that in there to turn some people right back to the suburbs.
Yeah.
I mean, you come in from Danville, guess what? Oh, it's got to turn around, and next thing you know, you're right back in GOP Danville. Bye-bye. What happened? I was looking for the Bears game.
That's Johnny Steele. He and Dan Ferraro of Bizarro fame will be at the Grand Lake Theater this Wednesday night in Oakland. I hope you'll stop by and check him out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Dan, pleasure to talk with you. And Johnny, well, you know.
Bye-bye.
All right, back to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. Up next, Charles in the Monterey area. Welcome, Charles.
Well, Peter, I've been working for peace and a better world all my life because I think given the ingredients we have and the wonderful powers in this world, that would be a very good result, and it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at 68, I've never known a more critical time, a more important election, nor a time when such substantial change is within reach.
Yeah.
So I suggest that people at least start wearing buttons for Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
Joe Biden. And when people say, I love your button, you say you love my candidate. And volunteer at the local Democratic headquarters. This is very important. But I have plan B, Peter.
All right.
If we don't win, we form a virtual nation, hopefully under the leadership of Barack Obama, and we continue to work for good things. I don't know, fly over war zones and drop video cameras or something, but just all the good things that we can think about, and we really know a lot of good things to do for our country.
Well, Charles, we'll deal with that after November if we have to confront that awful scenario, but one of the things that I really encourage you to do is to call friends, relatives, or even cold call people out of the phone book in other parts of the country, particularly in key battleground states, because vote caging is underway. They are working to purge the rolls, particularly of people likely to vote Democratic. And some of it is almost legal because under the Help America Vote Act, they're supposed to freshen their voter rolls.
Yes,
but between now and November, people need to call their local election office and confirm that they are still registered, even if you voted in the primary earlier this year, because we don't want thousands, if not millions, of pro-Obama voters to show up on November 4th and get one of those silly provisional ballots that wouldn't be counted anyway. And this is one of the critical ways that Republicans are continuing to try to game the system and manipulate elections. And it's a concrete step that you can take to make sure that people do get to use their right to vote on November 4th.
I'll take that step, Peter. My wife and I have been registering voters at the county fair and all the farmers markets, and I've signed up with the Democratic headquarters to be on phone banks calling the other states.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can register at rockthevote.com.
That's right.
And yes, we can. Si se puede.
Si se puede. Thank you, Charles. Good to hear from you. Now to Nancy in Winters on the way to Sacramento. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, Peter. I just am calling to give a heads up to everybody in the greater Sacramento area that the Teach Peace Foundation is having its annual Evening of Peace dinner on Sunday, September 21st. And they can go to teachpeace.com to learn more about it and to get tickets. And also, I wanted to let people know that we have award winners getting various awards
for their work toward peace, and one of them is a guy you might know, Peter B. Collins.
I'm looking forward to it, Nancy. It's a great group, Dave Dionisi and Mary and others who have worked so hard on really trying to educate people to a peace agenda, including trying to change the ROTC, the junior ROTC system in the San Francisco public high schools. They do a lot of great work, and I'm looking forward to being there with the group, and I will be as humble as I can as a humble host to accept the award.
Well, we look forward to meeting you, or I look forward to meeting you. I know you've already met Mary and Dave, and anyone else out there wants to meet Peter and any of our other great peacemakers, come on out.
Teachpeace.org.
Right, .com.
.com.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
Thanks.
I will see you there, Nancy.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's a week from Sunday. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. Don't hold back. Call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining me for the Peter B. Collins Show. It's more fun than doing it alone.
Checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. We'll start you off in the Santa Cruz Mountains in Scotts Valley. Northbound 17 after Granite Creek Road. An accident vehicle off the roadway and into a ditch. CHP is on the scene. For Watsonville, Ohlone Parkway at 152, we have a solo vehicle off the roadway into a telephone pole. CHP and Watsonville PD should be on the scene with that. South 101 before Baranda Road, Salinas. A big rig lost a load of boxes of celery in the right-hand lane. And a major injury crash east of King City. This is 198 at Priest Valley Road, a vehicle overturned. We do have a confirmed fatality and someone fled the scene as well, so you have law enforcement conducting an investigation and looking for that person that fled the scene. Expect delays. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, now when you visit your genuine Toyota service center, enter to win gas at $1.99 a gallon for 1 year. No purchase necessary. See participating dealer for details. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Global warming is here. The effects may seem slight now,
but in a few decades, they could be massive.
Heat waves, floods, and food shortages. What can we do?
We can join together.
Because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show here from our high-tech studios at an undisclosed location. And your humble host does apologize. I have a high-tech device here that we use to time out the breaks. It's a stopwatch from Radio Shack. And I started at the beginning of each break, and then that tells me, you know, when all the stations are ready to rejoin this exciting live broadcast. And at the beginning of that break, I forgot to start the watch, so who knows?
This ain't no technological breakdown.
Who knows where we at, huh?
Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And there's room if you want to call in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Marianne is calling in from PG. Hello, Marianne.
Monterey.
Oh, Monterey. It's the other Marianne.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Peter. You know, that woman, Susan, said one of the most important comments and a way to get someone else to think who's totally closed to it. This is what religious programmers do to help people out of a cult. It's a highly effective technique. You ask questions. There's a question for every single thing, all the stuff that's gone on, all the sameness, abuse of power. And you ask a question, and their ego then doesn't need to be so defensive. And even though at the moment, at the time, in that week even, they will say what they believe where their heels are kind of dug in, that question will not go away in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the single one of the most important techniques that we can use right now. Is simply put those questions out there.
Right.
Why is she under investigation for abuse of power? Why?
Well,
lay there.
I hear that, and I think that is very effective. One of the lines that I used with my neighbors is about abortion rights. And they are not deeply religious, but they raise their kids in the local Catholic parish. And it's very clear to me that, in particular, Gail is concerned about the issue of choice. But she is swept up in a sense, number one, that it'll never happen, just that you know, Roe versus Wade would never be overturned. And she's caught up in a sense of righteousness that McCain and now Palin are channeling, you know, what she thinks is right about America, you know, that we're strong, that we don't admit that we make mistakes.
Right.
And so trying to tap into that, I can get her to momentarily agree, you know, I am concerned about choice. And then I'll say, well, but what about the Supreme Court? I mean, we're only one justice away from overturning Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I find that emotion kicks back in and the rational mind closes. That I can only get a window of a few seconds there before talking points and fear come back in. And fear is what is really driving the Republicans this year. They're afraid of a black man becoming president.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all different codes that they use to describe that. Oh, he doesn't have enough experience. Oh, he's, captive to black liberation theology. And even when you point out, look, you know, he's not Al Sharpton. He's not Jesse Jackson. He's not bringing a posse of people along with him like, oh, Kwame Kilpatrick, the mayor of Detroit who just got bounced. But, even when you make calm and cool and very rational arguments, it only goes so far before that whole Republican mindset kicks in. And it just becomes a fear of the media, a fear of liberals, a fear of African Americans, a fear of the other.
But if you keep asking those questions are not going to go away in their mind. You have to keep casually, as a peer, asking the question, put it out there. I wonder why, is it really a good woman who would have a brand new baby in an audience with so much noise and so much germs being passed around? Just let that question be there.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a month from now. That question's not going to go away in her mind.
Yeah.
Any woman or any man. You just keep putting the questions out there. Don't worry about the results.
All right. Marianne, I'm going to use your advice, and I'll report back to you. I'll see how well I do with that. Thanks for your call today. As I mentioned, Ari Melber is on the campaign trail with Barack Obama. Flint, Michigan was a stop today. Let's pick up a little of the audio.
The tax policy, same old Bush tax plan. He's not offering a change in health care policy. George Bush's health care plan.
No, we're getting buffer problems here.
Not YouTube. Offering a change when it comes to education policy. Same old dogmas that the Republicans have been peddling for 3 decades now. No plan to make college more affordable. No change when it comes to rebuilding our infrastructure. No change when it comes to energy policy. So how is it that John McCain and Sarah Palin are claiming that they're bringing about change? Well, here's what they'll say. Here's what they'll say. You know, what they say is, well, we're going to reform government. We're going to reform government. Government's too big, and we're going to reform government. So John McCain says that he is going to tell all those lobbyists in Washington that their days of running Washington are over. Which sounds pretty good until you discover that 7 of his top campaign managers and officials are, guess what, former Corpus lobbyists. So who is it that he's going to tell? Is he going to tell his campaign?
Well, sorry about that.
Chairman?
We're getting a lot
of... Is he going to tell his campaign?
Okay, we've got the idea, Barack. Thank you. Unfortunately, the clip there is getting hung up in the buffer. But you get the idea, and if you go to WashingtonIndependent.com, you can take a look at that video for yourself. And thanks to reporter Ari Melber for sending it our way. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for indulging me. Will you do it again tomorrow? I'll be here looking for you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
Hi, it's Peter B. Urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code Peter B in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's mendingamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a multi-billion dollar burden for taxpayers, but putting Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac under federal control had immediate benefits for home buyers. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
The government takeover of the country's two mortgage giants started mortgage rates tumbling down more than a quarter point today to 6.2%. Mark Zandi is chief economist with Moody's Economy.com.
I think we should see rates well below 6% within the next few weeks.
Together, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac own or guarantee about half of the mortgages in the country. And as foreclosures surged, they looked increasingly in danger.
Important thing here is it's reduced a lot of the uncertainty.
But economists say this by itself will not end the housing crisis or start a rebound in home prices.
Barack Obama finds himself on the defensive. The Republicans got a big bounce from their convention last week, and in Michigan today, Obama was fighting back.
If you are satisfied with how things have gone over the last 8 years, you should stick with John McCain and the Republican Party. If you think that we need something different, then you should vote for the Democrats and Barack Obama.
CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports the John McCain-Sarah Palin ticket now has a slight lead.
The new CBS News poll shows that the enthusiasm gap with Barack Obama has narrowed dramatically. Before the conventions, Obama led McCain 48-24. Now he leads by just 53-42. And much of that progress is because of Palin. Her convention speech affected a higher percentage of voters than Obama or McCain, and 85% of McCain supporters are glad he picked her.
65% of Obama supporters say they're glad he picked Joe Biden. President Bush makes a speech tomorrow at the National Defense University outlining troop deployment plans for the remainder of his term.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. It's a move designed to reflect further progress in Iraq. President Bush will announce plans to withdraw another 8,000 U.S. troops by early next year. They include 3,400 combat support forces and a battalion of Marines now deployed in Anbar province. But over the same time frame, other Marines and an Army combat